Jeff.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Jeff Stein, kind enough to join us. He's our national and presidential expert. We also find his books over at Next Chapter Books, totallyiowa.com. Iowa Business Report is his daily showdown in Iowa. And, of course, the Iowa Politics Report comes from KXEL in Cedar Falls, Waterloo. Hi, Jeff.
That's just such beautiful, beautiful music.
It's melodic.
I could just listen to it all day.
Don't tell me you don't already have that thing playing in your, it gets in your car and off you go.
I don't need to because it's in my head all day.
We were talking before you came on here that about both the Dominion lawsuits. We'll start there. Sidney Powell comes on out and makes what is pretty much going to be the most catastrophic defense attempt in the history of legal matters, where she basically says the Dominion lawsuit for lying about them should be dismissed because, you know, anyone who had a brain should have known what I was saying wasn't true, which basically comes across as I knew I was lying and I knew at the time when I was lying, I was lying. It's a gutsy move, but you're a legal expert. I don't think that's going to work for her.
Well, here's the problem she has with it. All right. Now, as a lawyer, you cannot file a lawsuit that you know to be without merit. All right. Mm-hmm. So if she filed the lawsuits, which she did, right, and had legal pleadings talking about a valid claim of action, if she made public statements about the lawsuits, and now is trying to say no one should have taken those statements seriously, then she's in essence admitting that it was a frivolous lawsuit, which frankly is much more serious ultimately for her career than some sort of a civil judgment. So it's an inconsistent argument at best. It is then made worse when you see some of the footage from the U.S. Capitol on January 6th with people chanting her name. Mm-hmm. Okay, so no reasonable person would have taken her seriously, except we have evidence that people did, mm-hmm. and she is being completely inconsistent then with the pleadings in court. If you wanted to say no one would have taken my statement seriously, go be a political analyst.
But you can't. Radio host, yes.
Just be a radio host, for crying out loud. But the point of it is we're just stating opinions.
Yeah.
Okay. She could have stated an opinion. But when she is standing there in her role as a lawyer who's party to a lawsuit, that takes you to a whole different level of standards.
How come the fact, I mean, as I brought up earlier, the cat's out of the bag here. She is basically saying, we've been lying to you the entire time. The entire idea that Dominion, and let's face it, Dominion was the key to their whole fraud claims. That the algorithm spiked and the ghost of Hugo Chavez flipped the votes. That is what their argument has been. I mean, isn't this basically telling all these Trump supporters who from the day after the election scream the election's being stolen that, no, the election wasn't stolen. You're just a bunch of fools that were just desperate to believe anything, because that defense really says, yeah, these are the idiots. The idiots believe me.
The problem with this, and you're right about that, the problem with this is that she's making statements for her own legal defense,
yes.
The claims that you're seeing, okay? So at some point when you have inconsistency, and this is what a good lawyer would say to a witness who was all over the board. It's like, well, now, wait a minute. Are you telling me the truth now? Oh, yes, I am. Well, you swore earlier that you were telling the truth. So you have to be lying one time or the other. Which is it? So, sure. I mean, you potentially could have an awful lot of Trump supporters, or at the very least, let's say people who believed the narrative they were providing about the November election, who are sitting back and saying, wait, what? Mm-hmm. Especially those awaiting trial for the Capitol disturbance on January 6th. The ones who thought that they were marching into battle, spurred on by these individuals who are going to be there for them, and they just have turned tail and run when they're the ones being sued.
And that Sidney Powell statements, those came out on Monday. That was the day after that 60 Minutes interview where they were talking about, oh, yeah, these people are going to jail for 5, 10, 20 years per charge. You know, there was this there. I'm guessing Sunday and Monday was a real sobering day for anyone that was that you know, attacked the Capitol when they realized, oh, yeah, this is not going to go well for us.
And they're not going to have the backing that they thought they would have. That's exactly right. I mean, the idea was, you know, these people have our backs. No, they do not have your backs. They do not have your fronts. They do not have anything except their own self-interest. That's what they have.
Mike Lindell is actually seems to be, and there was a report on a story out on his defense against the Dominion lawsuit is actually to file, you know, a defamation lawsuit against Dominion. Sounds like he is working with Alan Dershowitz to file these claims, which once again goes back to something you said earlier. You'd better make sure you're not knowingly filing false claims. You've got to, you know, do this. It seems to me the defense there, and I actually think is a little bit more sane of a strategy than Sidney Powell's putting forward, is maybe they can actually tie this up in court and get Dominion to just, you know, either take a smaller check or walk away. Your thoughts on that?
Lindell is in a very different position than Sidney Powell or the other lawyer who popped his head up for 5 minutes based down in Georgia, who then got sued and went away quietly, too. This shows you how important it is. I can't remember his name. Lindell is offering an opinion. He's putting out these videos, et cetera. But what are they based on? They're based on the claims of these other people who have been sued. He's not a lawyer. He invented a pillow. Okay, so
he made a pillow.
Whatever. He patented the fill procedure.
Yes.
But hey, look, all I know is, honest to goodness, this is not a scam. I had a horrible time sleeping. My wife said, why don't you try it? You hear all these radio people talk about it. Best thing ever. Okay, I'm just going to say it. I'm not agreeing with the politics necessarily. I'm just telling you, the pillow, I'm good with. But that makes the point. He's like Ron Popeil, all right? You remember the rocket fisherman guy? Okay. He's selling products. Some on the left said he's just a huckster. Okay, fine. You know, so therefore, there is a huge difference between Mike Lindell saying it and Sidney Powell saying it. One person is in infomercials. The other is a licensed attorney. There's a difference. And so if you're Dershowitz, you could do the old, okay, we'll sue you because what you've done is now harmed my client whose reputation was limited. You've harmed him. Yes, from a legal standpoint, it's like, okay, you want to sue? Fine, we'll sue. It's got much more merit than the defense from the lawyer who filed a claim swearing under oath it was true and correct. Yeah, there's a huge difference.
Well, but the problem for Lindell, if I'm not mistaken, is the fact that his popularity led him to be able to get platforms which were much larger. That if he was on the street corner saying this, really, Dominion's not going to have a case against him as a private citizen or this. But the fact that he was on OAN, he was on Newsmax, on Fox News, and he was making these claims, and he's continuing to make them. That's where I think the problem comes in for him, is because his popularity led him to much larger platforms, which then the reach of his message became much larger.
But why was he popular? He was not popular because of anything that would have led you to believe he knew what he was talking about on this topic. All right. I mean, there's nothing to suggest that he's an election analyst. This is not going to be the exact great analogy, but when Michael J. Fox talks about Parkinson's and research, he has Parkinson's, he's funded research, he's been integrally involved in this thing. That's one standard. A guy who sells pillows for a living and then talks about elections, why is he famous? A whole different reason. Should you take him seriously on topics unrelated to sleep? Well, that's really the point that they're making. But again, very different from someone, because why do you think of Sidney Powell? You think of her because she's an attorney and supposedly did wonderful things with General Flynn's case and tried to work some magic here and now has an issue.
One other small problem, though, that Lindell has is that Dominion warned him multiple times. I mean, Dominion kept warning him, saying, if you continue down this. So he can't, there can't, you know, legally, I mean, if you're a lawyer and you say, okay, you're saying something we know is untrue, we're telling you to stop, and you continue to do it, at what point then does it become, is the defamation?
Well, just because they warned him. I mean, you know, you can warn anybody. It's like, don't do this, we're going to sue. If he still believed it to be true, or if he believed he was within fair comment and opinion, I don't care how many times I, as the lawyer for Dominion, tell you to be careful or else I'll sue. I mean, yes, he was put on notice, but I don't think that makes any difference to the ultimate disposition of the case.
Jeff Stein joining us, talking about politics for the day. Let's get into the Colorado shooting, Boulder, Colorado. Once again, AR-15 taken and used as a vehicle of slaughter. 10 people dead. What's interesting is that there people have said, yeah, because of the pandemic, because it seems as if these gun crimes, these gun slaughters that we were having, you know, took a year off because people were with the pandemic. But now that things are starting to ease up, we are definitely Atlanta last week. Now we have Boulder. We're starting to see them come back again.
We are. I mean, the big name one, you know, in terms of multiple victims, the gun violence in our major cities didn't go down, sadly. You know, Chicago, oh my gosh, right? But, the fact of the matter is you've got two incidents that are disparate. They have different motivations, different weaponry, different racial makeups and motives. There is a common denominator. Now, here's the question. If the common denominator is firearms and access to firearms, what's the solution that could have stopped, eliminated, prevented 16 people, I think the count would be, 16, 18 people between those two shootings?
Yes.
From being dead. That's one of the things, and you and I have talked about this for years, with respect. It's fine, you want to do something about it, do something about it. But is what's being proposed, is that something that actually would make a difference? And
yeah,
the trick if so, that's fine.
The assault weapons ban, when the assault weapons ban was in place, we did not have the level of slaughter. Were there shootings? Sure. But if you go back and you look at the amount of mass shootings in this country, there is a definite correlation between the Republicans allowing the end and refusing to extend the assault weapon ban and the rise in these shootings. And if you just went back and reinstalled that, that would probably go a long way right there.
Well, I'm not going to make it political only because of the fact that that's when people stop listening, when you start making it too political. I'm concerned about those who, when they hear there's a shooting, start coming up with ideas before we know the details of the situation. You have to let it go a couple of days to find out. I'm not talking about ignoring it at all. You grieve for and honor the victims. But, you know, there were people who were talking about this being, yet another white guy shooting people. Well, that's not the case. You know, I mean, so let's have if we're going to have a good discussion, let's have a good discussion.
Well, then
if in fact what's being suggested could save these lives in this way, then fine, put that proposal on the table. But I'm so tired of people yelling Second Amendment. I'm so tired of people on the right or on the left then yelling the opposite. It's like you want to handle it. Then both sides act like adults and stop trying to take advantage of the victims.
You can't. First, two things. One, mm-hmm. I don't think you can separate the politics from this anymore. I mean, the NRA won a lawsuit that allowed that stopped a ban on assault weapons. The guy bought his guns the next day. That is. There's a direct line A to B there. That's you're getting this. And the absolute refusal of Republicans to acknowledge gun slaughters in this country are a major problem is a political thing. And every time we have another one of them, It is political. Here's the other thing, and I know you're not Todd Starnes. I know you filled in for him occasionally. You are not Todd Starnes, but you want to talk about how things get political. Todd Starnes tweeted yesterday morning, once all of a sudden, because, frankly, the first videos of this guy look like a white guy getting arrested. He is from Syrian, Alisa is from Syrian descent, right. And he was caught there. Todd Starnes immediately came on out and said, look at the narrative get changed immediately when the liberal media finds out what this guy's name really is. And I said to myself, are you really that stupid to think that liberals are all of a sudden going to go on out there and say, yay, 10 people are dead because it was a Middle Eastern guy? I mean, that was his clear impression of what Starnes was saying, that all of a sudden this is not going to be a big problem. No, I don't care who's shooting. 10 people slaughtered is a bad thing. And
but that's not how I interpreted that at all. Oh, that's not at all.
No, Starnes was clearly making a point. And
he's making a point, but here's my point.
An ignorant point.
Well, okay, here's my point on it. I don't have any idea the racial makeup of the victims in the Colorado shooting. I have no idea. It is trackable. You can show how there was a lot of talk about hate crimes because of race in the Atlanta situation, and you stopped hearing it in the other. Now, I don't like either one being buttonholed, pigeonholed, narrowed that way, right? And we talked about this last week, sadly. It's the weekly shooting conversation. But in Atlanta, there were 8 people killed. 6 were Asian women. One was a Caucasian woman. One was a Caucasian male. The man's family was saying, wait a second. Why is no one paying attention to our family's grief?
No one was downplaying that. And everyone says the fact that he was targeting Asian day spas is your first clue that this was targeted towards Asians. The point I'm making is this.
I'm not going that he was targeting Asian spas. He was targeting these spas, and I'd like to have a broader societal conversation about why these Asian women felt that they had to, that this was what they were doing for a living.
This is called deflection. It's a deflection. It's clear that was happening. Here's my problem with this new shooting. Fox News didn't cover it at all that night. Fox News hardly said a thing about 10 people being slaughtered in Boulder until they found out the name of the shooter. And then all of a sudden it was top of the hour. Don't dare kind of go at people and criticize the left and say, oh, well, they're jumping to conclusions with the Asian spa shootings in Atlanta. Oh, look at them basically. No, the gun slaughters are the problem. And in these cases, the victims might be of a certain minority group, or the shooter themselves might be of a certain ethnicity, religion, whatever the main case may be. Absolutely. The problem here is, we need to stop them, period.
Exactly. First of all, I don't watch TV at night, so I can't challenge what you just said, although I was flipping around that night, and I sure think I saw it on a lot of channels. But it's not important. Not important because I'm not representing any of those channels. If you are going to have an honest conversation about how to stop those kinds of things from happening, then the conversation has to start on why they are happening. And it can't be done by sight. I will tell you, last week or earlier this week, the Colorado situation, I saw the guy being drug away right after he'd been shot. Me, without hearing anything on the TV, it was on mute, which is how I find it's better to watch TV news sometimes. I see this guy being hauled away, and I thought, middle-aged white guy, I saw him from the back. I saw male pattern baldness. I said middle-aged white guy. That's what I told myself. Didn't make any other generalization. So I understand why people, in the absence of information, may have said what they said. But we have to have a conversation about access, about solutions, and about the broad issue that involves why people do these things. There are two commonalities.
I tell you what, Jeff, hold on quick a second. I got to get a break in before we get there. Jeff Stein joining us. We'll take a break. Come on back. I'll let Jeff finish his thought when we come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show on AM 950. AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It is the Matt McNeil Show. Jeff, I'm going to let you go once again. Sorry to cut you off there, but I had to get that break in. Go ahead.
Absolutely, and I'm watching the clock so I don't crimp you at the top of the hour. Three commonalities in these two shootings, okay? One, gun was used. Two, male. Three, obviously mentally disturbed in one respect or another, because you don't carry this out unless you are.
By the way, young those 20s the too. Young 20s too. I think we can put that in there as well.
Oh, you're right. They were both 21 years of age. That's right. Okay. So, you know, that's a very good point. But so the point is, you have certain commonalities. All right, let's start with those. And let's figure out what it is and what signals were missed over time, if there were signals that were missed. You've got both these family – I'm not blaming the family members of the shooters. Do not get me wrong, because I thought to myself, what would I do? Colorado situation, they said, this guy's – you know, he's really disturbed. The Atlanta situation, they said the guy was disturbed. He was, you know, kind of weird. I don't know what I would do in a family situation. I mean, if you were my brother and you were acting that way, would I turn you into the police? I don't know.
And you know, Jeff, if I may, you don't probably, I don't know if you know, in Minnesota, we had a shooting in Buffalo, Minnesota, where a deranged man went into a hospital and shot people.
Okay,
and and in that case, this was a known deranged individual. Mm-hmm. And the police did not feel as if they could, because under the current laws, as they were written, stop him from getting a gun. And they see, there's your first problem. We all acknowledge that the first thing that happens here is you have someone who disconnects from reality. The next thing that happens is they pick their vehicle of destruction, and they choose a semi-automatic weapon, which are easily obtainable for them, because we don't have any limits at all on stopping these people from getting those. And there's where you have to start.
That's not unfair at all. That's not unfair at all. And again, my only other caveat on this is I worry that too many people will try to, quote, do something, pass a law. And then it's all okay. Everything's fine. This is so much more nuanced. I don't care if you pass whatever gun control, Matt, you want to tomorrow. There are still ancillary issues, and people who are wrongheaded are going to commit these kinds of activities. And so we've got to do more than just let's pass a law. Is it a start? Okay, fine. Let's have that conversation.
But
so many times people say, oh, there, we've taken care of it. And that would...
Well, and did we lose him?
No, he should still be here.
Well, let me just wrap up by saying this, is that I'm fine with that. We need to do something. We need to do something, though. And this idea of we can't do anything and throwing our hands in the air, those days are over. Databases, background checks, banning assault weapons, those would be some good places. Jeff Stein will spotlight this interview. We'll be back. Hour 2 up next right here on AM 950.